It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
Yeah. This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than staring at a wall of hay. You're better than that. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. You could do it on the Facebook page on Davin's Den, although I don't know how that's going to work tonight because Pip's not here and we haven't figured out how to get it to work properly, but maybe tonight. I am your host, Davin Roseblood. I am joined by Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe will be efforting.
Yeah.
Oh, Joe. Whoa.
I'm
out. Oh, whoa. My stars. Joe is here. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
He was so pleasant on the phone. And now he's like, hello. Well, yeah, it's like lights, camera, douchebag. Unbelievable.
Here's the deal. I haven't stopped. Literally have not stopped since 6:30 this morning. I just sat down. I had a lousy day. And I'm just getting sped up as well, so I'm not the queen of the May. And I've always said it takes me at least about 20 minutes to get all warm and fuzzy.
We get about like an hour 15 minutes of quality Joe on a 3-hour show. We get a solid hour 15 of pleasant, funny, engaging Joe Curry. The rest of the time,
the show should be.
Oh, here we go.
That's how long the show should be.
Okay. So plan a show, Joe, and we'll jump on your show. Can't wait.
It's coming.
I've heard that for 10 years. I think we're looking at we're almost on the 10-year anniversary of the meltdown.
Time for a defection? Is that what's happening?
It sounds like it. Just you know.
Uh-oh.
I hope he remembers to leave the garage door open because the last time got very dark.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Our garage door doesn't open all the way or close all the way unless you really force it. So we're safe.
You're safe?
Yeah, from ourselves.
Is it an automatic garage door?
Yeah. We figured it out. It was something was just a little too close to the edge, and it was being safe for us, so it wouldn't close when it got close to that, and it's like, you son of a bitch.
Okay. All right. Well, what do we got on this show since I did not write it down? On the show, we have a racist Muppet roaming Sesame Street that is now Sesame Place, I should say. Not Sesame Street. Sesame Place. In School of Fools, a yearbook is delayed over a Don't Say Gay protest. We'll talk about that, and it actually got resolved. Talk about that. Donald Trump finds himself in a sand trap with the Saudis with the new LIV tournament and is pissed off the 9/11 families, and Donald Trump doesn't know who's behind 9/11, so that's an unnecessary quagmire he got himself in. The GOP says no veterans, no health care for you, kind of like what they were doing with the 9/11 first responders. It's just I don't know. These things seem like so easily avoided. But we'll talk about that and an outstanding display of spite. A farm with no view. We will tell you what happened there when somebody went to extreme lengths to spite somebody. So that's why it's there. And scamming scammers. We will see if Michelle's English is any better this week. It was a little suspect. last week?
You know what? I want to see if I, you know, I don't have the time to sit there and do a side-by-side analysis, but I don't remember her English being this bad throughout the whole run.
You're not going to do forensics on this? You're not going to do a deep dive?
No, I don't think I'm going to do that deep of a dive, but I do think about it, and I'm like, I don't remember being this bad. I think she probably smells toast. You know what I'm saying?
You think she had a stroke?
Yeah.
That's very sad. It's very sad.
Yes.
I mean, because she's still serving honorably in the military, and I'd hate to think of somebody serving in Yemen in the military having a stroke and not getting the proper medical attention that she needs. But you seem fine with it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Only this particular troop.
No. Okay. Okay. Anything
the only one that I would say that would be okay for.
Anything going on with you, Pip?
You know, we've kind of did some spontaneous spendage.
Good.
Stimulate
the economy.
One of the things that's been troubling us for a little while now is that one of our neighbors, well, we presume it's one of our neighbors, has been calling the county on us.
Yes.
Regularly.
Yes. You are driving down property values.
Yeah, just us. Yeah. We're doing it by ourselves. Now, admittedly, the weedage had gotten out of control. So when they complained, we're like, all right, you know, this is a bitchy way to do it, but I guess that's fair. We'll, you know, take care of that. And we even got the landscaper to cut back stuff that I didn't really necessarily want to lose, but I was like, you know what, go for it. Let's try to clean up as much as possible. And, you know, there are some beds I'm going to dig out and put flowers in, but not during a heat wave. So I was like, fine, we'll just have them Agent Orange the place, and we're pretty much starting over. But one thing I would not get rid of is my giant butterfly bush. Staying.
Okay.
Too bad.
Okay, okay.
Well, you got a trim down there.
You know, it's been a little warm, so I haven't been able, I haven't had time to trim like I like.
I totally did not think of anything like that, and then Joe comes crashing in. Like the big monkey that he is, and now there's that image. So thank you.
Well, you didn't get any of that when I did my Instagram with the butterfly bush in it?
Your story?
Yeah.
You know what? I just added it. I've been doing a million things. Wife's out of town, you know, just doing a million things. But next time, I will definitely pour over your Instagram story by looking for any double entendres that may be lurking in there.
Well, the husband got a giggle.
That's
anyway,
good.
You know, we've been doing improvements and whatnot, and we did a lot of work. I thought we pretty much cleared up the problem, for as much as they said was a problem. So the guy actually comes. He drove by. He saw that we did what they asked us to do, and they closed the case. Good.
Right. Yeah.
Then a few days ago, the guy comes back while I'm at the day program, and Mr. Helix is alone. And the guy says that the they got an anonymous complaint that day. So I was like, "What the fuck? We did what they wanted, you know? What is this?" And the guy walked around. And he's like, "Yeah, I don't see what they're talking about." And then he started pointing to our porch. Now, the porch does need repair, and I was getting estimates, but I was just like, you know, you can't just get a guy to show up the next day when you decide that you don't like that there's cracks on the steps had cracks on them, but literally it was still solid as hell. And I was like, yeah, we have to get it fixed and we have to get it replaced. The corner facade had fallen off, and then there were cracks in the middle of the three steps. I don't know what you call the flat part you stand on. But they were good and solid, and our postman didn't say anything about it. And, you know, they're going to be the first ones to tell you.
Well, maybe the postman is the one complaining.
You get something from the post office if they
maybe he was delivering the mail and he stepped on a crack and it caused his mother to have a broken back and he holds you personally responsible.
That bitch had it coming. No, I really don't think it was the postman because the post office has a mechanism for letting you know if there's a problem with your property that keeps them from delivering safely.
Wow. See, again, so, this is something I've never encountered either. But then again, I have not lived in the Munster mansion my whole life. So you know all sorts of stuff.
My father was a postman.
Sure. We'll go with that.
Yeah, no, so that's why I know these things.
That's why.
Anyway.
We'll go with that.
Okay, we'll go with that. So this guy comes over, and we saw that one of the neighbors had their porch being done. And we kind of glanced over it, and we're like, yeah, okay, I see them doing that. So I don't know this guy from Adam. Well, don't you know, he spots our porch, and he comes the day after the Board of Health guy comes by to say they're complaining again, and he starts pointing at the porch and going, well, you should do something about that. And we're like, that wasn't in the initial complaint. That's not your say-so. No. But when the porch guy came over, I was all set to say, no, get the step in, you traveler. But when he came over and he quoted the right price to me, I said, just do it!
It's like you live like in an HOA community, but you don't have to pay the HOA. But there are apparently there are people watching to make sure that you are up to code with everything.
They are HOAing me.
In my neighborhood, they come around once a year to look at the property.
Yeah. Mm. You know, ever since my people escaped the camps, were released from the camps, I don't cotton to that type of oversight.
I am not enjoying this oversight.
No,
either.
You know what?
They're by every 2 weeks.
It would just make me feel very negative about my neighbors and my neighborhood. It would be like, you know what? We're gonna go to where we're welcome. We're moving into the dump, and that's enough. That's it. Here we go.
Really? I mean, I am considering Camden.
I don't know if you're Camden fancy.
We're Camden fancy. I'm just like so sick of snooty people going, oh, look, they don't have their edges trimmed just so. It's like, no, I'm trying to grow insect and bee and butterfly attracting plants, and not all of them are pretty. And if you think they're weeds,
like
tough
neighbors.
Shit. Yeah.
When we
were... we're attracting a... some kind of attention. I don't know if it's all bees and butterflies.
When we were looking for our first house many years ago, we wanted to stay in Jersey, but we knew certain areas. We didn't know other areas. So we looked at a house in Irvington. That was a very good price. And it was a large house, probably like 5 bedrooms and everything. And then you pull into Irvington and you go, huh, that's why it's so cheap.
That's why it's so cheap.
Are those machine gun turrets at the top?
It's pretty intense. When you pull into the wrong neighborhood and you realize why the real estate's so cheap, you know it.
Like, this was like the boom, I guess it was like 04. So that was like the boom before we had this boom. So everything was like outrageous. I want to say we look like this big property was probably like $175K, which was a really good deal at that time. It was probably something ridiculous like that. And we were so naive to go, yeah, we'll take a look. Had no idea. That's probably just a fixer-upper when somebody needs to get out. No. Very, very dangerous neighborhood. A lot of riffraff, apparently.
Yeah, I learned a lot about Rockland County when we were looking for our house together up here, and I didn't know what the neighborhoods were, and I would see things that were cheap. I found out things about where are the scary neighborhoods, where are the really poor neighborhoods where, you know, crime is a little too much there? And where is the Superfund cleanup site? I found out about all kinds of things. The very incestuous politics of one particular group of people in one town, and an insurgence of some kind. There's all different, like, all groups are represented here, but they clump into their own little areas, and then they take over that spot, and it's like, you will abide by the dude when you go there.
The dude? What was it? What was he, the Big Lebowski?
Whoever the dude is in the area, whatever the climate is in the area, you will abide or you will move.
So you're getting your porch fixed.
It's done.
Oh, is it nice?
It's okay.
That's all we can ask.
It's
you know what? It's on you. Do you like it? I guess the fuck I
You can walk on it. You can stand on it. There aren't any cracks. Nobody can point at it and say, I'm going to give you a fine.
Hopefully the work, the craftsmanship was good. Hopefully it lasts. I think we should rename your house the It'll Do Estate.
Well, you know what? This particular project, usually, you know, I research people and I get several quotes and I do all due diligence. No, I was just fed up that day. I was like, fuck it. It'll do.
It'll do. It'll do. When you've had enough, go to It'll Do Estates.
Yeah.
When you need just enough to squeak by, It'll Do Estates.
You know, and the guy is just obviously trying to sell me whatever else he can sell me. You know, I know that we have a moisture problem in the basement. No, that's
is that so? Awesome. You know they have lubes for that now, dear.
No, we have too much.
Well, I'm assuming this has to do. I'm assuming this has to do with your butterfly bush again.
No, you know, we would have to have it all dug out and proofed, and it's going to cost tens of thousands.
No, I don't think it's. I don't think it's tens of thousands, because there was a house that we were looking at, and like I think it was like 10,000. Well, it's like French something, like
French strains.
Yeah, French. I think it's like.
You know what? I was just going to mention that because my old house, the basement leaked. Come on, Joe. Leaked for years, and when the house was brand new, my father sued the builder over it. And what happens? Always been a constant problem for like 50 years. So basically, when I was selling the place, my real estate agent goes, "Did you ever try putting a French drain in?" And I'm like, "What's that?" I'm embarrassed to ask the question. I'm plumbing for years and years and years. I never heard of a French drain before. And I got pissed off because it would have taken me a weekend to do. I know where to get this stuff. But when I met the new owner, he was telling me that, it was leaking from the chimney. It was leaking all over. So it was a major problem. So I don't know if the French drain would have fixed it.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I don't know which way we're going to go with that, but he's quoting me money. And I was like, look, I don't know what about this particular place made you think Rockefellers live here, but this was a big expenditure for us to do this front porch. I'm tapped out. And he kept saying no. He kept going for smaller and smaller projects, and I'm like, you didn't understand.
No.
I'm done.
You know, I hope this works out for you. I really do with this.
I do too.
But I feel like you should have at least spoken to my guy, who's in my basement right now where we keep him.
I know, and I know that he was full up, and I was just, you know what, when somebody keeps coming at you, and they keep coming, and inspectors are coming and poking around your house looking for fault, when a guy comes up with a solution, and he's like, I can start tomorrow, it's way
I understand why you jumped at it. I understand why you jumped at it. But since these guys are all so busy, I get nervous when somebody can start tomorrow. You know, it's like, wait, why aren't you full up like a lot of the other quality people that tell me, well, at a month at the best, you know?
Yeah.
Well, because they're travelers.
They're not gypsies, dear. They're not gypsies. It's not a carnival running through town.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Well, then you did wrong, dear. Listen, you need a porch, not a tilt-a-whirl.
When the wagon come up and the guy put his tambourine down before he picked up the mortar file?
Yeah. No, that's a thing. You know, the Irish travelers will pick something like paving driveways,
yeah,
or doing,
yeah,
porches and stuff, and that becomes their currency, and they go around and they just get money where they can. And so they'll go and they'll fix somebody's porch, and then they'll go, oh, you know, I did your neighbor's over there and he's very happy with it, and I did the guy around the corner, and you can go down the street and listen, I know I just quoted you a price, and don't tell anybody else because they'll shoot me, but I could give it to you for this for cash.
I really hope this lasts and you're not in the same predicament 3 years from now, because we have tough weather where we live. If it's not done right, it'll start cracking because it gets so hot and so cold, and the moisture, it's tough. So I really hope you got lucky, but geez, I really wish, even if you didn't go with my guy, I just wish you would have looked around a little bit instead of the guy who's stumbling along. It's kind of like when it shows up in your inbox when it's too good to be true. It's the same type of thing.
And I don't normally operate this way. I did go and get a quote from another guy, and so this guy was in the ballpark, but a little less.
Okay.
And I was like, turned out okay. It's a porch. I was buying a car, and I'd be like, oh, what a lemon I got. I mean, it seems nice and sturdy.
Well, here's the thing. As I've learned with this house, just because it looks right doesn't mean the craftsmanship is good. For instance, on our front huge stairs, which you guys have traversed a couple times, they've gotten loose. So Javier, our contractors, had to fix them because they did it with like sand or something. Like, they didn't do it properly. So, I mean, things can go wrong. That's why I'm always like, you know what? I'll pay more the first time if we can do it right instead of saving a couple bucks. Because I don't want that headache a few years down the road from now.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, the treads, that's what you call them.
Treads?
The treads? Yeah, the treads are what you actually trod upon. Those are the stairs.
Oh, that reminds me. Thank you. Treads. I got tires with 27,000 miles on them. I got to replace them now. Perfect.
What?
Alignment. My alignment was off somehow. It didn't pull the car. And these tires are a year and a half old. I got them in January of 2021. And now I have to put a brand new set of tires on them. And there's no
alignment without?
That's what the alignment place tells me, because my mechanic doesn't do alignments, apparently, and the place where I got my tires, BJ's Tires, doesn't do alignment, so I had to bring a third party into this, and the alignment, I didn't feel it or anything, but one of my tires, like the interior tread, completely bald, and the other three are on the way out, and I regularly rotate my tires, 27,000 miles, a year and a half, boom, got to put another set on. What are you going to do?
That sucks.
It does.
I tell you, my CRV, I never, because they were busting my balls at the day program, because when I had the tire problems last week, oh, your car's always going through tires. I go, I tell you to go to hell, but I've had the car 4 years. It's on my second set, and I had to buy two tires that didn't make it, that got fucked up, you know? So, yeah, I never, ever spent so much on tires in one vehicle.
Have you checked your alignments?
No.
Well, That might be what you want to do. If you're racing through tires and you get them regularly rotated, that's probably what it is, as I recently learned.
To tell you the truth, I got 80,000 out of the last year.
Oh, then what are you complaining about? That's really good.
I know. That's why I really haven't, you know, I've gotten a lot of cars. The car aligns properly. You know, you can let it off the wheel, it stays in the lane.
Yeah, my car did that too, but apparently that means nothing.
Good news, my boss at the day program, you know, although he was a little bit of a nudge today, he actually did something that I was stunned and pleased to see him do.
He took care of the moisture in the butterfly bush?
No, I don't let him anywhere near the butterfly bush. But there was a customer of ours who was being incredibly rude to me on the phone, and who had been a problem previously. He took the phone call and he told the guy to never come back.
Oh, good for him. Good job. Well done.
Yeah.
That's all. That's only happened once before. I could not believe that he fired a customer.
Good. Good for him.
Yeah.
All right.
I was really pleased.
You know what I did yesterday with a customer? The customer, I don't know, asked me to get a price for them, and I've been just overwhelmed. So she sends a message at about 2:10, and she goes, I left you a message at 1:20, and I still didn't get my price. I'd like to get my price now on the original email. So I wrote back, and I said, look, I'm so sorry. I go, look, I had to leave. I had my mom was wheeled into the emergency room, and I had to run to the hospital to see what was going on. So she writes back. She goes, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Thank you for the price, and I'm so sorry. I'm sending prayers. My mother's been dead 30 years on the 19th.
I can't.
I even called my coworker that, you know, helps me on my line, and I go, Tammy, she calls me, she goes, oh, my God, is everything okay? I go, no. I go, we're going to wait for Stupid to apologize for being mean. Sure enough, she did.
I can't believe you, Pip, even, like, engaged this. Like, this wasn't complete horseshit. Like, I saw your face. You're like, oh, this sounds terrible. It's riveting. You know his family, his parents are no longer with us. Why would you?
No.
Why?
No, I know that that's not true, so I was just wondering where he was going with it.
Uh-huh. Even my coworker did, but the customer didn't.
You know what? This is why people die, because people do shit like this. I hope you're happy.
See, I can't hurt you, but my mom's gone 20 hours.
So yeah, but now they might take it out on somebody else's mom.
No.
I don't know.
That's not how it works.
How do you know?
Bring trouble on.
How do you know? You don't know how it works.
Because that's magical thinking. This is bringing this on to somebody else because he did this.
If you knew how things worked, you wouldn't have gotten a porch from a roving gypsy. You don't know how things work. All right.
It comes back. I don't want to say that they're two comic buddies of ours. And it was one of those things where they turned the lie into something. The one guy he wanted him to work this gig during the middle of the day down in Baltimore. And he said, he goes, look, I can't do it. I can't get out of work. Blah, blah, blah. So the one guy speaks to the church people, the priest, and goes, look, he can't make it. His sister wound up in the hospital, and he's got to stay up on the island, and blah, blah, blah. The priest wants to know what her name is because they want to have a mass for her.
Got to stick to the lie.
Oh, man.
All right, let's continue.
That makes you feel terrible.
And Aaron's right. So they had the mask for this sister that never was sick.
Let's continue
you gotta roll with it, you know.
Yep.
Let's continue with a recent tradition, and I guess we've been doing this. I guess like 4 shows in a row now. Joe's got a you stink in the opening segment. That would explain why he's so dandy all the time. So here we go.
You stink.
Where'd they touch you now, Joe?
All right. Yesterday, I was having a lousy day. You ever have one of those days that you go, well, maybe things will turn around? No. It's going to suck from sunrise to sunset.
Yep.
Wrap in. So I have to go grocery shopping, and I go to the dollar store because I'm broke. So I go to the dollar store, I get a couple of items, put it in the bag. Do you want a bag? Yes, please, put it in the bag. And this woman, I kind of know because she's been to a show. She knows who I am, and we had a conversation about the show.
Wait, hold on. Let's stop and analyze that. So somebody who's seen you on stage, Mr. Big Shot Entertainer, also sees you checking things out at the dollar store. Good God, does that have to suck.
It's only like 5 things in the bed. As I walk out of the store, I smell this smell which smells like when you go past the dump or like a decaying body or, like just garbage and shit. Yeah, an awful smell.
Horrendous. Where the hell do you shop?
Well, here's the deal, right? So I'm like, did I step in something? So I put the bag in the car. I drive about a half mile down to the supermarket because I have to pick up stuff there. And I go, well, I hope I didn't step on anything. So I get out of the car. I'm walking fine. Everything is fine. I get into the supermarket. I do what I have to do in there. And I get back in the car, and the smell is still there. And I'm like, what the hell? So I put my nose in the bag because I think it might be the food. And it's like, this is disgusting. I don't want anything in this bag. So I go back to the store, and I go, look, I go, nothing. I go, this bag smells awful. I know something's rotten in here. Oh, no, what happened is the bag smell like that.
What?
Just the bag smell like that. Apparently, maybe it's the recycled paper. And I'm like, it's not recycled paper. This was on something dead or something like that. I go, this smells disgusting. And I go, and she's like, well, we could repack it. What, into another bag? I go, look, can I just get my money back? And she goes, well, there's nothing wrong. It's just a bag. I go, I don't want anything I'm going to consume in a bag that smells like that. I don't care what the situation is.
That is so terrible.
All right. Well, we have to figure out how to give you money back. And I'm like, I guess nobody degrades themselves to return anything in the.
No, I don't think they don't take returns at the $1.25 store.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
He did a couple of times when something was, and they were good about it. They were really cool about it when something was past the sell by date, way past the sell by date, and he didn't realize it. He took it back.
Well, apparently, you didn't realize either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this bag, it's like, you know, and I'm always there. I just don't want this stuff. I don't want the bag. I don't want, you know, so, but you would think they would mention something to upper management. Look, we can't have this thing that looks like and smells like it was a body bag in a previous life. I mean, it was stinking up my whole car. It's not like I'm going, if you just look, you know, well, I smell something funny. All right, you got to relax. All right, but when it is overpowered and it's in your car and it's the whole fucking car and it smells awful and you want to vomit, I mean, you can't. I mean, it's awful. And they're telling me, well, it's probably the recycled paper. How can you smell that and not think it's recycled paper? How can you put the? How can you give it to customers and go?
Well, Joe, how could you give it to customers? It's the $1.25 store. It's not exactly Nordstrom's. Relax.
I understand that.
I don't know if you do.
I understand that, but I don't give a damn who you are. I mean, you've got bags that smell like ass, and I mean, you think nobody's going to notice?
Well, I mean,
I would say, excuse me, I'm going to give you the bag. Maybe you want to run in the car and grab a box or something. I go, oh, the bag smells like ass. It smells like what? Like the whip. Christ, am I see? I'm telling you, I don't, you know, I'm not going to just not let you know.
Most places don't even give you a bag anymore. More and more you have to bring, you might have to invest that dollar, that 99 cents, and buy yourself a bag so you are never the victim of stink bags again.
And even my plans were ruined because basically what I do is when I buy vegetables, like you buy cucumbers and you buy three,
yeah,
and it's like, how many cucumbers are you buying? I press one, but I save myself a dollar there.
Really? Really? You're ripping off the, you're saving yourself 30 cents on cucumbers? Good.
A dollar, yeah. I'm trying to figure out how to get the big tomatoes. I got to look at the prices. And when I get the giant tomatoes, I got to maybe get the price for grapes on them or something like that.
My God. Wow. No wonder.
How many bags you're using, I press zero.
Does your boss know that his wages are not cutting it? This is a horrible, sad story. You work very hard. You've been there a long time. The fact that you have to rob the supermarket and try to play shenanigans with bananas is a real problem.
Not bananas, damn it, cucumbers.
I understand, but banana sounds good with the word shenanigans. I'm a craftsman, a wordsmith, if you will.
With the price of gas, I mean, gas is coming down to an almost reasonable price, but here's the deal.
No, it's not. It's still unreasonable.
It's $3.99 off the expressway.
Really? Ooh. Yeah. You got some of that. You got some of that nice cheap gas. I'm going to come there and bathe in it. That sounds delightful.
but you used to fill up the car with $30, $35. Now it's $60. So you're like, all right. Well, where am I going to cut back? I guess I'll have to cut back on groceries. Groceries went up, like, my bill probably 20 or 30 a week.
It doesn't sound like you cut back. It sounds like you're cutting out the supermarket. You're not exactly cutting back.
Yeah. It's not cutting back. It's cutting in.
Yeah.
Cutting into their profits.
Yeah, well, gas is still expensive up here. I mean, it's expensive everywhere. It's like, in Jersey, I paid $4.17 last week. I had to fill up here at $4.52. So, whatever. Yeah. But whatever.
It's $4.05. It's now $3.99 at the gas station by Expressway. By the day program, by the BJs, those guys are at $4.04.
I've never heard of anybody switching fruit and vegetable stickers before.
Why not? No.
You see, the people that work there don't give a shit about anything. So it's
they
not
don't.
Like there's somebody hiding behind the lettuce with a...
Wait a minute. Hold on. Don't impugn their character when you've already impugned your own. Leave them out of this. They're not the problem in this scenario.
No, they're not. They're the help. They're the actual help. They don't give a shit when you need something. You know, they're not gonna care less if you don't need help.
don't.
That's the way you're approaching them, Joe. Because people are always nice to me in the supermarket.
Yeah, I've never had a problem with somebody in the supermarket not being willing to help me.
Well, after a while, like, let's say you're scanning and it doesn't go through. The guy traipses over like you had to drag him out of a harem with 20 chicks, you know?
Again, I've never had this. Now, I don't like the self-scan, but unless they're tied up with somebody, they're usually pretty quick and they're nice. I mean...
Yeah. I've only ever had one person that was at the self-scan, and that person did not seem to be happy to be alive. Did not seem to be happy to be helping me.
Well, today at my supermarket, the guy was complaining that, because I didn't go to the self-checkout, that he was on 11 and he wanted to be like on 3 or 4 because everybody comes to 11. I'm like, there's nobody here. It's empty. I go.
He's exposing chicks in the other aisle? What the fuck are you
doing? I go, you're barely working and you want to work even less.
Yeah, really.
I go, next time I come in here, because I only had a couple things, next time I come in here, I'm going to have a whole lot of things, I'm going to have you ring them up, and then after you ring them up, I'm going to say, you know what, I don't want that. That's what I'm going to do next time.
The people that complain about not making money where they are, the laziest people. When I was running the fence yard, there used to be one of the truck guys, I'm not making enough money in this fucking place, I'm barely scratched by, you know, these fucking cheapskates, but... So we come in at 1 o'clock. You know, they would usually do one run out on the road, and we come in. We have a bunch of stuff to go out at 1 o'clock. So he pulls in the yard. I go, hey Chris. I go, you got a second run? Oh, I was gonna go fucking home and blah blah blah. Really, you know, with throwing your money at you, there's money in the street. You're bitching and moaning. So I have no people like that. You know.
Yeah, but you're that person. Not that you don't work hard, but you're telling me how you have to save money on a cucumber right now. So you're not. I'm not calling you a lazy person, and you're barely getting by. You know what? Sometimes it's the people who sign the paychecks that are the problem. Now, I'm not saying that's the story with the guy you were telling me about, but there is sometimes you work your tail off, and you're just not getting paid a livable wage. I mean, when you got to count grapes, it's a problem, my friend. You have a full-time job.
Even if I was doing something else, you know, even if I didn't own a house, I'd, you know, own an apartment, and on Long Island, I'm paying the same price. My computer is going to go dark in a moment.
It's had enough.
Why?
It crashed again.
Oh, geez.
It sounds like you have
the scan. What's the problem? I can't bring up the scan, so I got to sit with a mental patient with that.
Sounds like he's got a virus or some malware. Sounds like something got on there because it's not normal for it to happen every week. Now, it's normal for my internet to go out every week, but it's not normal for a computer to crash every week.
Yeah, there's a code they give you, and I can't scan the code.
There's but, a what?
Also, they never have baskets. Like, when you go in and you have to go on, it's like a treasure hunt to find a fucking basket.
That's true. I haven't thought about that. You know where you can get a basket? Usually you can get a basket at a nice Rite Aid. Usually Rite Aid you can get yourself a basket. But the supermarket, you have a point. You don't see a lot of basket carriers anymore. But again, people are coming in there with their own bags now. It's a whole different world.
And another problem I have is with the gas station. I go to the gas station to get the best price. And you go out there, and every time, rarely is there a receipt in the machine. And it's clutched.
Right!
So I go storm, you know, and I'm not very pleasant. I just grab it out of his hand and walk out. I had the first sale one day, and I go, look, I go, how is it so hard to keep receipts in the machines? I go, that's half the reason. You know, I go, it's very inconvenient. The whole thing is not having to come in here.
Agree.
To have to come in here, it's ruining the whole purpose. It's not rocket science. You're not throwing a 318 into a Chevy. It's a fucking roll of paper that you could go in there. I mean, it's not that you're crazy busy. Instead of talking to the sleeper cell in Arabic,
Jesus,
have the guys go out there and put the, you know, put the stuff in there. And the guy tells me to look into it. So I go back there on Sunday, and I go in and I go, there's no receipt. I go, it's not, oh, it's fine. It works fine. I go, it says clerk has receipt. Here's the deal. I go, if it had the receipt, it would give it to me. It didn't tell me I have to see you. And I go, it's a pain. They did it. They don't care. They don't care. They're lazy.
Well, because maybe they're saving paper. I don't know. It annoys me, too. I never go in there. Because, you know, it'll be on the credit card if I really need to see how much I'm paying. I don't need any more little scraps of paper running around. But it's a valid complaint.
It is. Yeah. It's like, you know, you're supposed to supply this at the minimum during a transaction. And I can't be bothered.
Everybody's cutting corners.
Point. You go. You don't have to walk in. And a lot of people want a receipt. And it's just a minor thing. That's a big fucking deal, you know?
Yeah. I just think now that supermarkets don't really, I mean, now that there's no bags, they just stand there because they don't feel like they have to bag for you anymore because you have your own bags, and God forbid they should put things in your bags. So it's kind of like, wow, you got it pretty easy now. Could you at least move my bread aside before you throw down the watermelon?
Even at the dollar store, you had a bag, and you've got a bag that smells like a dead rhinoceros' asshole, and you just keep putting stuff in there. You know?
That's outrageous that they were giving you, like, corpse bags. What the hell?
Pip, that's the best word for it. That's what it was like. It was like corpse bag. It was a body bag and going, well, we shouldn't throw it out. The thing costs $12.
Well, Joe, you know, it's called recycling. You know, just because a bag dies with a person doesn't mean you can't reuse the bag. It's like comedy and jokes.
And like I said, I'm not being picky. It's my car, the whole car, this thing stunk up.
Did you tell them that if they do not improve the bag situation, you will take your business to the $1.50 store?
I don't know. If every store got them, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be the same thing.
Nah, I feel
you
like
know, what he was really mad about was that when he opened up the side of his car, the cadaver dog jumped in.
He would have. He would have said it for right in there. Something's got
to
be dead in there.
That would cause me not to go there anymore. But then again, I'm a fancy man. But
it's my favorite dollar.
Right, let's analyze that right there. The fact that you have a favorite dollar store is a problem. Now I'm not saying I'm above a dollar store. I'm not giving that impression at all. But I apparently I'm nowhere near the connoisseur of the dollar store that Joe is.
Oh well, you got to watch this because this dollar store has the beef sticks that I like. They have the cookies I like, you know, and a lot of them are dumps.
I know what you're saying. There's definitely qualitative differences between dollar stores. I've noticed.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
All right. I don't know what to do with you guys. All right. we'll continue on with minor grievances, and then we'll take a break because my grievances are minor, but they had me all a titter, and a flutter, and a gasp on Saturday night.
I was in a titter.
So my daughter used to be in this string instrument group in school. It's like an extracurricular group, but then she had enough of that and she doesn't do that anymore. She just, you know, plays with the school things, but didn't do the club. Well, her music teacher leads the group and asked if she would play a concert in town this week, and my daughter agreed, and we went to the concert. We thought it was just the string group. But it was mostly my daughter's teacher's musical group, although the string group did play some songs. So it's no big deal. I had nothing going on Saturday because the career's going well. The teacher is actually very talented. I want to say that, get that out there. She's actually very, very talented. She plays a mean violin. You know, I like a rock and roll violin. I like the fast fiddlers. I kind of enjoy that. I enjoy a fast fiddle. So, and she can sing. She's got a nice voice. She also writes her own original songs, and she's very, very passionate about music. So, I mean, really, this is what you want teaching your kids if they're going to be in a music program of some sort. So, no,
agreed.
No complaints there. Now, here's where it went sideways. Apparently, the teacher, she's the lead singer, could not hear herself in the monitor when she was singing. As a comedian, it's not a thing. I hear my voice because I'm talking and I'm there, and there's no monitors because what's weird is my ears are pretty close to my mouth, so I can hear what's coming out of my mouth. So that's me. Okay, fine. So she motions to the sound guy that she can't hear. I get that. I've seen Steven Tyler have a temper tantrum when there's something he can't hear or whatever. So I get that. Okay. So the guy tries to fix it. It's not. Now, she sounded good. So whatever she couldn't hear, she sounded good to us. It wasn't like, oh, wow, she's really out of tune, or wow, she's really flat, or this, that, the other thing. She sounded good. And it's outside, so it's not like you have the best acoustics in the world. So we're outside in an open area. She sounded very nice. Very good. But this is bothering her. This is bothering her.
You know why it was bothering her? Maybe, like, at least with the keyboards, if I'm playing and I'm getting no monitor, I think I'm doing okay. I hear, you know, it's like with comedy, you can hear less, but not, you're a minute and a half into a tune, and you can't hear yourself. It's beyond maddening, because you can't hear yourself.
I get that, but again, to a point. So she keeps on going to the back, because the sound guy is behind the audience, in front of some audience, but behind where I'm sitting. So now she leaves. It's not a stage. I mean, there was no stage. But she leaves the performance area to go to the sound guy, which I, like, in comedy, I believe you never leave an empty stage. You, like you'll see sometimes see, like, an MC walk off before he gives the microphone, or before the other comic gets the microphone.
You gotta wait for the next act.
Exactly. You can't have an empty stage. Now, the stage isn't empty. There's still the musicians there. But you can't be walking off to the back of the stage. Fine. Once. Twice. This keeps on happening. Yeah. So, and, you know, and I get what you guys are saying, and I've never been a musician, I've never been a singer. You know, after the first 30 minutes, you're just going to have to resign yourself to the fact this guy isn't going to fix it tonight. It is what it is. The audience seems to be enjoying me. You know, it's a free gig in the park. It is what it is. Play through. You got to suck it up, Buttercup. I mean, because it's not going to get fixed. Talk about it after the show, you know, for the next gig. Fine. That's one thing. And now, because I guess we have to fill, everybody gets an extended solo. The drummer, the trumpet, the bass, the keyboard, the guitar. It's the land of never-ending songs. Every song is a tidy 10 minutes if we're lucky.
Because she's probably pissed off she's got no monitor.
But don't take it out on me.
Taken out on me. Well, what do you mean? They were fine, competent musicians.
Yes.
Playing a little part just for them.
You know what? Listen, First of all, I was hoodwinked. I thought I was going to support my kid. You know,
right.
And my kid has to stay to the end because they're going to come back up, I guess, for another encore or whatever. And she needs to get her paper signed because this is community service. So I went under the premise of supporting my kid, And now I'm supporting the teacher, which, again, I don't mind. I don't mind. But I don't need to see Fish. I don't need to see the Grateful Dead. We can do a five-minute song. It's okay. We don't have to have every song have a musical interlude. You know, oh, the guitar, enough. And then even when she's not walking off stage, we're still doing it. We're still, like, these are lovely songs. She's written some fine music. I'm digging it. You're good. You're talented. And here's the thing. I'm thinking, you know, as I do when I see performances, how come some people get to be big stars and some people aren't? You know, a lot of it's luck. A lot of it's circumstance. Some of it's talent, but very often it's not talent. It's not ability to tell a joke or write a joke or play an instrument or sing. There are plenty of amazing musicians out there that you've never heard of that, you know, if somebody decided to snatch them up, they'd be big stars. You go, well, where have you been all my life? But then I was thinking, there is something.
Yes.
Yes, Joe.
Absolutely.
But there is something that I put my finger on, and it is the ability to capture an audience. When you are a performer, now again, that wasn't the case in the 90s, you know, when everybody looked down and played their guitar out of key and we called that grunge, which some of it I liked, but let's be honest.
Well, not out of key, tuned down a half step. Tuned down. It's not out of key, it's tuned down a half step.
Well, whatever the hell it was, it didn't sound good all the time. It sounded like the guitar was angry.
It was.
It sounded like the guitar had a rumbly tumbly. That's what it sounded like to me. And again, I like some of that songs, that music. But for the most part, there's a performance aspect of it. There's connecting with the audience and a show. And I get it. You're playing a park. You had a good audience there. Stay on stage. Because when she would actually play the fiddle and concentrate on, I guess, leading, because it's her band, she was good. It's like, what are you doing?
It depends on the singer. Look, having no monitor is maddening. Anthony, he'll be pissed. He'll get through it. My new singer, Carl, and Fragile Sky, everything has got to be just so. My Joey, who he replaced, everything would be, you know, everything, he'd be pissed, but, he would do the best to get through it. There's a lot of nights he wasn't thrilled. In Sexy Susan, Corey wants everything just so. Nicole will be pissed off, but she'll get through it. So it depends on the story.
Listen, I'm fine with pissed off. I'm fine with that. I'm good with that. But I'm also get through it. This isn't a rehearsal. There are people here. And, you know, and I always think of what Joe DiMaggio said. Joe DiMaggio, why do you always play so hard? Because this might be the only time somebody gets to see me, and I want them to see me at my best. It's the same thing. You can't have an off night. So it was a good concert. But two hours in, you know, I remember I went there an hour early to drop my daughter off, and then I had to come back and get my wife. So this is a whole thing. But 2 hours into the concert, I go, all right, enough. I go, we're getting the kid. I go, because they went up for the encore. I thought the encore was the kids coming back on. But no, then there was still more. And I stayed for some more of that. But after 2 hours, listen, we're not.
Go. Yeah, 2 hours, yeah, 2 hours, yeah, gotta go.
Yeah, bye.
And they
pay your paper tomorrow.
Your band, yes. Band or whatever, you gotta split.
Yeah. Listen, this isn't Springsteen. I don't have the patience for 4 hours of Springsteen. I don't have patience for 2+ hours of this. And here's the thing.
No.
Our fault, we didn't plan properly because we figured it would be an hour. We didn't eat. So we're hungry. It's getting chilly. And now we're getting cranky.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Was your daughter pissed that you had a split? Or?
No. She was fine. She was good with it. I mean, we still have to get her paper signed. And everything, because I'm like, yeah, no, we're going.
I think you got to get used to, because my aunt's sister's son, nephew, Warren, is learning the keyboards and all this other stuff. So I went to go see, and it's School of Rock, so I went to see them play. And Warren's keyboards were very high, and I think he couldn't hear the sound. So I told him, I go, Warren, I go, this is also an important lesson. Your dad will tell you, and I go, and your uncles will tell you, that sometimes the gig is not always perfect. Things aren't you know, the way they're...
Let's be honest, Joe. Things are seldom perfect. I mean, I've seen some of the biggest performances in the world, and they're having tech glitches. I've seen it at Super Bowls and everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they're going to have tech issues at a Super Bowl, then they're going to have tech issues everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, we opened a couple of times for Joe Lynn Turner, and there was one time it was up at Mexicali, I think it was.
Mexicali Blues.
So we're opening for him at Mexicali. We've opened for him a couple of times in both in Fragile Sky and Race Odyssey, and even Things Sexy Says. But nonetheless, there was a guy, one of the worst sound people I've ever dealt with that worked there. I think he fired him. And he couldn't get the monitors right for Joe Lynn Turner, and he was not happy. He was at the sound check. He was pissed. Band hits the stage at the get. The set start. He was felt bad. He was not happy. So even a guy like him used to sing, with Deep Purple.
Listen, I don't have a problem with you wanting things to be right for your show and your audience. I'm good with it. But at some point, you have to realize it's not going to get fixed now. So just play through.
We're on stage and we can't hear. Or the audience can't hear, and you look at the size of the audience. Sometimes you make the decision to put down the mic.
I can't tell you how many times I've blown out my voice because the mic doesn't work, and there's like 200 or so people in a big room, and it's just like, okay, this is what it is. What am I going to do? Stand up there for feedback, with the mic feeding back or cutting in and out? No, you get through it.
And and the funny thing is, if you wait for about like if it just starts, the audience is like, ah. However, at about 20 minutes in, and it's still going on, it's like, guys, you mind if I put down the mic? Because everybody, you and them, have just had it.
Oh, I don't wait that long. I mean, my audiences are pretty hip. They can kind of tell when it's cutting in and out. They appreciate. Now, what you do lose in comedy when you drop the mic is you can't use your voice for nuance, subtlety, sarcasm, because now you have to project the hell out of it. But it is what it is. You do the job.
By that time, the thing is cut in and out. The second mic is not even working. And now we're at about 5 to 10 minutes. And it's been nothing but a distraction. So you put it down, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna stop it. And dude, you're gonna blow your voice out.
Second mic. What fancy gigs are you working?
Yeah.
Next thing you're gonna tell me is you're doing mics where there's fresh batteries and the cordless microphone.
Well, that's what you always do, and I've learned that as a musician. Here's the call. Is there fresh batteries in it? No, you put some fresh batteries in because they're always a problem. And this is, always been, the damn things have been around for almost 30 years. It's still, every gig has to have fresh. Well, the guy, you try to be gracious, but no, we need to have fresh batteries in the cordless.
All right. Well, musicians.
Yeah, there's no way you're leaving that to chance so it runs out before you're done with your
year. And that's what I tell them. I go, I'm doing this, amount of time, there's either I'm the headliner or the other, it's just a really good, and nobody really argues, it's just you don't want the show to fuck up either,
All right. Well, there's still more of this show to fuck up, so we're going to take a break. Yeah. On the break, we got new music from Herbie Frame Ingo featuring Urban Slap with Forever and El Damien and DJ Combo with Waiting For You. You can learn more about multiple artists. KHB-music.de. Short break. We'll be right back and we'll tell you about the racist Muppet patrolling Sesame Place.